James. Amen. And well, I'm going to spare you this morning. We're supposed to be starting in chapter 3, right? Well, we're going to skip chapter 3. I don't know if you were here Sunday night, but a young man by the name of Walker preached chapter 3 and done a real good job. And probably much better than I would have done here in Sunday school class. So we're going to leave it there, and we're going to go to chapter 4. But before, yes, part you didn't want to hear, right? What do you mean before? But before we get in chapter 4, I want to look at one verse in chapter 3. But before we do that, got you confused now, me too. All right, in chapter 1, we studied about true religion and how to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's something to take heed to, amen? And then in chapter 2, we studied how faith without works is dead. And we also studied that James did not and was not teaching works salvation. Now, I know a lot of times when you read that, people get confused and they think that he's teaching works salvation. And he's not teaching that. But what he did teach is that if you're saved and the Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence inside this body right here, is that there's going to be works. I mean, think about that. How can Christ be here and there be no evidence of it? So that's just something to think about with your own personal salvation. If there's no evidence, is Jesus living in here? Folks, we got so many people today that'll walk an aisle and what they're really looking for is some fire insurance.
Yep, that's right.
See, they don't want to go to hell, and they want to go to heaven, but they don't want to serve a holy God.
Right.
You know, so what do? They say, well, I can walk the aisle. I can kneel down and say a prayer. Well, let me just tell you something. That's not going to get you to heaven. Because that prayer that you said down here, that's not what saved you. What saved you was a holy God dying on a cross, being buried and resurrected. And when you believe that in your heart, like the book of Romans tells us, when we believe that and we accept that and we ask Jesus to come in and live inside of us, that's when we're saved. So, you know, so don't be walking an aisle thinking you're getting fire insurance. And then people tell you all the time, well, people don't do that. Yes, they do. Look around the world today. Look at all the churches today. There's churches, so-called churches. I use that term very loosely. But there's churches today are meeting this morning. The gospel's not being taught. The Bible's not being taught. Salvation through Jesus Christ is not being taught. What they're teaching is anything that makes you feel good. It's called humanism. Whatever makes you feel good today, I want to make you as happy as I can because I want you to put a big check in the offering plate this evening. You understand? That's what's being taught today, folks. That's, you know, you get outside of these walls and you go to most places, that's what's being taught. And it's sad, but that's the society that we're living in. And then in chapter 3 was about governing the tongue. And folks, that is something that all of us really need to work on. You know, think about the little things that we do and say throughout our day, every day. How many times do we slip up and say something that we just really didn't have to say? You know, and it's so easy. You know, when we're looking at ourselves, I mean, every one of us in this room is perfect, amen? In our own eyes, right? I mean, I am. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you, right? But that's the way we perceive ourselves. So it's so easy to try to put somebody else down. And I catch myself doing that. And you know, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. The Bible teaches opposite of that. We're supposed to be lifting one another, praising one another. But it's so easy for that tongue just to say that one little remark that it didn't have to say. And because of that, there's a lot of anguish that goes on in churches, a lot of arguing. We're going to get into that a little later. There's a lot of bickering that goes on just because we had to get that last little word in, which means nothing. You know, 100 years from now, is any of that going to matter? Folks, let me tell you what's going to matter 100 years from today. None of us are going to be here. Well, my wife might still be here. I don't know, but we're not going to be here. Folks, so anything that we did, it's not going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is what you and I, what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the way we should live our lives every day. With that in mind, remembering that's what's going to matter. So when we look going through the book of James here, everything James is doing, James is trying to keep us on the right path, on the straight and narrow, you might say. James is trying to get us to look where? Right here. But folks, 99% of all of our problems are right here. They're self-inflicted. We are a wicked, evil people. And we just bring so much upon ourselves. And that in James, all through the chapter, book of James, he's constantly pointing back to who? You. Back to self, right here. Because this is where the problem lies. And everything that we do. First of all, in chapter 1, it was doers of the word. Who is that? That would be us. You know, there's a lot of us will come to church. Now, I know some of us, you know, praise God. We just had some of them wheeled down the aisle here a little while ago and put something in the offering plate for their birthday. And they made it all the way down here and back to their seat. Bless God. And with those 80 roses, it took 4 people to deliver those. But they made it down here self-willed. Amen. Praise God. Forgot where I was going with that. But doers, they're 80 years old, and they're still doing. Now, I understand there's some people at 60 that can't do. So you're blessed if you're beyond that, and you can still do. But there's always something you can do. You can pray. You can come to church. People say it doesn't matter if you go to church. Yes, it does. It does matter. The preacher puts a lot of study time in. He likes to know that his people care enough about God and loves God enough to at least come to his house and receive something from him. Because that's why we're here this morning. We're not here to party. We're here to try to get something from God this morning. Try to get something from his word. Try to learn to better ourselves so that we can be better servants. But we can't do that if we're not here. Now, we can tune in on the radio, but it's not the same. It's kind of like a student going to college, because I've been on both ends of that. You take a student that goes to college and lives on campus, especially in a Christian college. It's not the same as being home and taking a video class. It's the same course. It's literally taped right in the room. If you're watching Dr. Bradley on a video, you're watching the exact same class that somebody else took in person. But the difference is the atmosphere. It's a different atmosphere. And you have the fellowship with one another. And it's the same way here at church. It's nice to come in and see your brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, it lets you know one thing. You're not the only one out there. You know, when you go to the shopping center, when you got to go to Walmart or Winn-Dixie or wherever it is you've got to go, Tractor Supply, or the farm store, wherever you got to go, and you deal with the heathen world all day, you're not the only believer. There are more. And it's easier to just take a stand for what's right, just like going out for supper and saying a prayer. A lot of people are ashamed to do that because of their surroundings. But when you find out you're not the only one, you'll be a little more bold. So it's good to have the fellowship. So anyhow, with all that being said, it brings us to chapter 3, which is the tongue. I'm going to spare you, like I said. Brother Walker done an excellent job Sunday night. And so we're going to go to chapter 4. But he did skip one verse in chapter 3. And I want to look at that one verse. And it's the very first verse. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, he's talking here about teachers. You know, back in the day, Israel was very proud of what they taught. They were very distinct about everything that they did and keeping the law and whatnot. And the teachers were meticulous. I mean, they were very sincere. Well, what he's warning him about here is that if you want to stand up here where I'm at this morning and you want to teach, there's a lot of people who has that desire, and bless God, it's a good desire. But what he's warning him about is that they'll receive the greater condemnation. Well, now, what's he telling him right here? Be careful about what you teach. And I'm going to give you an example of that. But it's very important that what we teach is biblical. It's what God is teaching. And what's happening today, you see it all around the globe. I just said it a moment ago. You can go to what is so-called a church, and they're teaching, but they're not teaching the Bible. They're teaching humanism. Well, they're going to stand before God for that. And parents, let me just say to you, as you raise, and I know most of you in here have already raised your children. Some of you may still have some, and there's a lot of people on the radio that's listening and on net and whatnot. You're raising children. You're going to stand accountable for what you teach your children. They're your responsibility. Now, I know we send them off to a school, and that's good. Well, yeah, but I send mine to a Christian school, and that's great. It's still your responsibility. It's up to you to make sure that your children are receiving the instruction that they're supposed to be receiving. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us have failed in that department. You say, well, how do you figure that? Look around. Look at the world. Obviously, something has gone wrong somewhere. Now, I know, excuse me, when I was raising my children, there's a lot of things I should have done differently. I look back now and I see that. But why didn't I do it at the time? Because I wasn't following Scripture. I wasn't doing that which I should have been doing. Why? Because I wasn't taught that. You know, my father wasn't a saved man. I was 12 years old before he ever knew Christ. So, and he had a lot of luggage. He had a lot of stuff to battle and things to fight and get rid of. And he'd done a real good job at that. And he was a good father. I had a good daddy. But he didn't teach me the biblical issues that I needed to know to raise my family in the right manner. So when we do that, you take two or three generations and you're so far from the truth that people don't even know the truth anymore. And if you speak the truth, they get angry. Even in the church today, you teach and preach the truth, they'll get angry at you. Why do they get angry at me? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I can give you a lot of examples of that. I mean, I'll start with one or two that hits right at home every time. You say something about your dress, your attire, what you're wearing, people get all upset. They don't want to hear about it. It's truth. It's biblical truth. Nobody says you have to follow it. That's between you and your God. But it doesn't change the fact that it's the truth. So if a woman is not supposed to wear breeches, she's not supposed to wear breeches. Whether or not you wear them is between you and God. It's none of my business. But it's my job to tell you what the Bible says about it. A man in long hair. Oh, Lord, don't go there. You're talking about long hair now. Now, this is what they'll do. Well, what do you mean by long hair? Right? Well, that depends on what you perceive to be long. And it dragging the ground, right? Well, but it's very easy to distinguish that. What is the opposite of long? Solved the problem, didn't it? Short. So therefore, the Bible says if it's a shame for a man to have long hair, you wear it short, right? But see, but if you mention that, people get upset. They get angry with you. Don't get angry with the messenger. Brother Morgan preached an awesome message Wednesday night. Awesome message week before. Really good message. I don't know about you, but he was stepping all over my toes. And if you were here, I'm sure he was stepping on yours because he was getting a little bit of everybody. But it was a good message. Do I get angry at Brother Morgan? No. No. I say praise God. I say thank you for reminding me what I already know anyhow. But sometimes it's just nice to be reminded of where you're supposed to be following God. And you can't follow that which you don't know. That was an awesome message, Brother Morgan. Folks, you got to know God to follow him. You can't follow, you're going to try to follow him blind. Now, anyhow, he's warning us about that. So when the teacher gets up here to teach, and today we got a lot of proud people. I mean, isn't this Pride Month? Isn't what they call it? Pride? Pride. Well, let me see. Yeah, it's a different kind of pride, but pride will tear you down. But you know, what does the Bible say about pride? I think it's Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction. And a naughty spirit before a fall. You know what the Bible tells us? So they can call it Pride Month, but Judgment Day is coming, amen? But when they stand up here to teach, they better be teaching this book. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I was scrolling through, and I seen something on Facebook. And you know if it's on Facebook, it's true, right? Amen. So it had to be true because it's on Facebook. So we're going to take it that way anyways. A young man was arguing for abortion, which is not so unusual nowadays, right? However, this young man claimed to be a Christian. So that's what caught my attention. Now, this young man claims to be a Christian, and he's arguing for abortion. And he's arguing with another guy, and I don't know who he was. I don't know who either one of them were. But the guy was showing him biblical scriptures against it. And the kid just kept coming up with another excuse and another reason and wanting to know another question, trying to say and make this statement that abortion is okay. First of all, what really bothered me was the fact that he said that he was a Christian. Now, I want to let you know that word today is used extremely loosely. Because just because you went to a building with a steeple on it that they call a church does not make you a Christian. But that's what they're doing today. Most of those buildings don't even contain a church. By the way, the church is not this building. God has given us a very nice building, but this is not the church. Collectively, us inside of this building, we are the church. Amen. We make up the body of Christ. So it kind of offends me when I see somebody using that term as a Christian. And then also, he had that long hair. But he was a Christian. And then found out that he was a drummer in the band at the church. Amen. So this kind of lays out a picture to you of what type of church, I use that word very loosely, that he is in. They have a band with long hair, so I'm sure they're playing good, godly gospel music, right? And they're for abortion. Now, I just can't help but ask myself, who is his pastor? Who is pastoring that church? Now, it would not surprise me if it was a long-haired, breeches-wearing woman, okay? But it might not have been. It could have been a short-haired guy. I don't know. But whoever it was pastoring that church, I know one thing. They wasn't teaching anything out of this Bible. Because there is nothing about abortion that's godly. Absolutely nothing. And you know, back in the day, people were ignorant to abortion. They didn't, you know, younger women had no idea of what the truth was. Today, we're without excuse. Today, a young child knows it's a baby at conception. You know, so anyhow, he skipped that verse. I just wanted to touch bases on that verse before we moved into chapter 4. I just felt like it's very important that we know and understand that everything that we do as parents, as teachers, in whatever position that you're holding, everything that you do matters. Somebody somewhere is gathering information that you're giving them, especially as a mom and daddy. Folks, you know, you're training up your children in the way that they should go. And the way that you instruct them is the way they're going to live their lives when they get out here in the world. And I don't know about you, but the world's looking pretty gloomy right now. not looking very good, and it's our fault because we're not raising up our children in the manner that we ought to. And I know people get upset when you say something about that, but at the same time, it's the truth. And we generally just don't really like the truth, do we? But the truth is what it is. It's on us. We're the one raising them. I know they get out here into the world, but if your child's in a school and they're teaching everything contrary to what you're teaching, get them out of that school. Homeschool them, put them in a Christian school, whatever you've got to do. But I can't afford it. No, you don't want to afford it. There's a difference. See, the house, the big house that you live in, is more important to you than the upbringing of your child. That's the bottom line. That's the truth right there. And people don't want to hear that. Yeah, but I got truck payments. Get rid of the truck. You see what I'm saying? It's all about priorities in your perspective. That's why it's so important that we focus on the things that James is teaching us. James is trying to teach us and direct us so that we're walking the straight and narrow path with the Lord Jesus Christ, not with the world. So everything that he's teaching us is so important, and sadly, most of us don't want to hear it. It's sad when you go to a church that contains God's people, and God's people don't want to listen and take the instruction that God has given to us. Amen. I don't know about you, but every time I read this and I learn something else, it's almost like a knife poking me. It hurts. When I learn and see things that I did wrong raising my children, because that was my responsibility. And the things that I can look back now and I can see that my children do things that I know they should not be doing. I taught them better than that, but I didn't live that. You know, monkey see, monkey do. You know, this don't do what I do what I say do. That doesn't work. So just like when you come, let me just give you this little quick example before we move on. When you come to church on Sunday morning, you put your Sunday suit on, and mama, you get dressed up in your nice little dress, or your skirt or whatever it is, and you come to church and you sit here in the amen pew, you sing a verse or two, then you go home, throw all that off, put your britches on, and go out here and live in the world every day, rest of the week, just like the rest of the world. What did you just teach your child? See, we don't want to look at that side of it. Yeah, but I love the Lord. What did you just teach your child? See, we can say anything we want to say, but our actions speak much louder than the words. And what we're telling our children is, well, this is okay on Sunday, but it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. It shouldn't just be Sunday. It should be Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. But I get tired of going to church. You don't get tired of going to Sunday's. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Folks, it's all about our perspective. And sadly, most of us, especially the younger folks, have got ourselves financially in a situation to where the world rules us. We can't take a stand on right because I might lose my job. What happens if I lose my job? Then I can't pay for my big house, and I can't pay for my new car, and I can't keep buying these $500 shoes I'm wearing. Right? But that's the situation we put ourselves in when we don't follow the guidelines that God has given us. Financially, we can't afford to even take a stand for that which is right. And that's where we're at today. Society has gotten itself to a situation, and trust me, these Democrats, they give, they want to give away the world. You understand that we put a sign in the zoo, don't feed the animals, they'll become dependent. And then we feed the world. Right? Isn't that what we're doing? And they become dependent. It doesn't matter how big or how small that check is. Once they've had it for a while, it becomes something that they need. It's now a necessity. Now they have control over you because you can't live without that. Because you've got yourself financially in a situation to where you're stuck, but that you need that money. And that's the way the devil operates in our lives. And there's a lot of us that would love to take a stand on issues and things in the world that we can't, such as our children, because we've got ourselves financially in a situation where we can't afford to. And folks, that's sad, because we're in here every Sunday. We got good preaching coming out of these pulpits. Good preaching. Been that way for years. And yet we don't take the instruction that's given to us and apply it to our lives. We amen it on Sundays. We walk out the back door right there, walk out the door and get in our car. And before we get halfway to town, we've forgotten everything we've been told. That's the way we operate. And that's why James is touching on all these issues that we're touching on. It's because we need that direction. I don't know about you, but every time I read through here, I find something that I'm supposed to be doing this. So, I praise God for it. And like I said, sometimes it's like a knife stabbing you. I'm like, man, I did that. Yeah. And we're all guilty of that. Every single one of us is guilty of it. Am I trying to put you down? No, I'm trying to give you some direction. I'm trying to give you some truth, especially the younger folks. It's not too late for you to raise your children the way you need to. I can't go back and re-raise mine. But I can take what I've learned and the scriptures that I read today, and I can tell you what I did wrong. I can tell you that I didn't do this and didn't do that, and I should have done this, this, and this. I can help you raise your children. And grandma and grandpa, don't support that which is wrong. I mean, I had my oldest son got extremely upset with my wife and I one time. When he had gotten married, I was against it, but hey, you know how it is. They don't really care, right? They're going to marry that girl they fell in love with, no matter what the situation is. Well, she happened to be Mormon, right? He was a Mormon, and child comes along, and they want to baptize this child in the Mormon church. I'm like, no. Are you coming? No, I'm not going. I could not go. It's my grandchild. But I could not go. If I had a gone, then I'm saying that, okay, I'm all right with it. I'm not okay with it. You can't baptize an infant. You can give them a bath, but you can't baptize. And they need it. Every 15 minutes, good bath won't hurt them at all. But you can't baptize them. And I wasn't going to take everything that I've stood for since I was 12 years old and believed in. I wasn't going to throw that out the window to keep peace in my family. I took a stand for what was right. Now, praise God, they got over that. It took them a long time. But, we paid the price in the meantime. But you have to take a stand. And too many people today won't take the stand. Grandma, Grandpa, take a stand. It's important. You're teaching. Do you understand that when you take that stand, you're teaching? You're showing your grandchild, this is what I believe, and it means something to me. It matters to me. This is my God we're talking about. This is His word we're talking about. This is His law we're talking about, and I'm going to do what He tells me to do. And I'm going to stick to it. That's what I believe. We're teaching when we do that. Your grandchild will never, ever forget that you took a stand. You think he's going to be angry with you? They may be angry with you for a few moments. But afterwards, they're going to know that grandma and grandpa, they mean what they say. They're not hypocrites. They live and believe what they say they do. That's teaching your grandchildren something. So it's important. Don't think because you're a grandma or grandpa, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It matters that we adhere to the stuff. Which is going to bring us to chapter 4, verse 1. Let me find my page here. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Good question. Where's it come from? I got a couple of verses I ran up for you. I'm just going to read them to you. Romans 7:23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, capital S. and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So what's he teaching us? Where's all this warring coming from? Right here. Right here. Why are we bickering? And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ bickering one against the other. I mean, I know we don't see anything like that around here, right? Never. Everybody here is perfect harmony all the time. Amen? Where's Brother Richard? Everything around here goes perfect, right? Every time there's an issue, this is the problem right here. Right here. It's all about self. Everything's about me. So we get our feelings hurt so easily. And for what reason? And we don't want to look at this. We don't want to look at the fact that it's us. First of all, we don't want to do that. If my wife and I have a problem, we both know it's her. Amen? It's got to be. It can't be me. Right? And most of the time she'll concede. She says, okay, I was wrong. But, you know, that's not the truth, is it? We know it's right here. We always want to be right. We always want to be right no matter what it is. We always want to have the last word. We always want our way, don't we? Doesn't matter what it is. And that's what creates the conflict. It's called what? Pride. We talked about that when we first started. It's called pride. And we know that brings what? Destruction. I mean, folks, we don't need to be prideful about anything. And that pertains to everything. It doesn't matter what the situation is. How about the wars that we have around the world? How about World War I, World War II, Vietnam? All of those things are what? Pride. Somebody wanting something that's not theirs. You know, we here in America, we always fight for what? Freedom. Even if it ain't ours, we're going to fight for it, right? You see what I'm saying? Everything pertains to somebody trying to get something that's not theirs. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it refers to money or if it just refers to, you know, something you think that you want. It could be an item. It could be a money. It could be a thing. It could be a position. It could be power. Any of those things. And that's what he's telling us right here. It's right here. It's among us. That was a good question. He says, come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Right here. That's the answer to the question. Right here. Folks, if we just keep that in mind as we go throughout our day every day, we'd all be so much better off. To remember, hey, it's not about me. It's not about me. I say that all the time. It's not about me. It's about what God wants. It's about what he wants. And if you want to make things better in your life, better with your children, better with your grandchildren, better with your job, better with anything that you're dealing with, put God first. Stop fighting for the things that you want and ask God what he wants. Ask God, what do you want in this situation? Where do you want me to be in this situation? What should be my stand in this situation? How about that car? Do you want me to have that car? See, we don't want to do that, do we? Most of us, when it comes to buying that new car, we're not asking God anything. We already know he don't want us to get it. Why? Because it might mess up our finances, right? See, a lot of times we already know the answers. But we're to seek God in everything. If you want your life to straighten out and get better and run smooth, put God first. Put him first in every single detail. And people say, well, I don't like to ask God for the little things. Why? He likes it when you ask for the little things. Don't take anything for granted. Because the Bible says that all good things come from who? God. So folks, if it's good for you, ask God for it. It makes him feel good that you care enough to ask for it. Rather than just assuming that he's going to give it to you. Ask God for your health. Ask God for a good wife if you're young and looking for a wife. Ask God to give you a good wife. Ask God to give you the wife that he wants you to have. Same way with you women. Ask God to give you a good husband. That pertains to everything in our lives. And I'm out of time.
Well, I'll have to quit right there. We'll pick it up next time. What's our Sunday school count, my brother? Amen. 707. It's not too bad with all the vacations going on. Well, we'll take about a 10-minute break here, and we'll come back for the preaching.